Esperanza Rising. Cantaloupes. They reached the border at Mexicali in the morning. Finally, the train stopped moving and everyone disembarked. The land was dry and the panorama was barren, except for date palms, cactus, and an occasional squirrel or roadrunner. The conductors herded everyone into a building where they stood in long lines waiting to pass through immigration. Esperanza noticed that the people in the first cars were escorted to the shortest lines and passed through quickly. Inside, the air was stagnant and thick with the smell of body odor. Esperanza and Mama, their faces shiny with grime and perspiration, looked tired and wilted, and they slumped with even the slight weight of their valises. The closer Esperanza got to the front, the more nervous she became. She looked at her papers and hoped they were in order. What if the officials found something wrong? Would they send her back to her uncle's? Would they arrest her and put her in jail? She reached the desk and handed over the documents. The immigration official seemed angry for no reason. "Where are you coming from?" She looked at Mama, who was behind her. "We are from Aguascalientes," said Mama, stepping forward. "And what is the purpose for entering the United States?" Esperanza was afraid to speak. What if she said the wrong thing? "To work," said Mama, handing him her documents as well. "What work?" demanded the man. Mama's demeanor changed. She stood up straight and tall and deliberately blotted her face with a handkerchief. She looked directly into the official's eyes and spoke calmly as if she were giving simple directions to a servant. "I am sure you can see that everything is in order. The name of the employer is written there. People are expecting us." The man studied Mama. He looked at their faces, then the pages, then their faces again. Standing tall and proud, Mama never took her eyes from his face. Why was it taking so long? Finally, he grabbed the stamp and pounded each page with the words, "Mexican National." He shoved their papers at them and waved them through. Mama took Esperanza's hand and hurried her toward another train. They boarded and waited an hour for all the passengers to get through immigration. Esperanza looked out the window. Across the tracks, several groups of people were being prodded onto another train headed back toward Mexico. "My heart aches for those people. They came all this way just to be sent back," said Mama. "But why?" asked Esperanza. "Many reasons. They had no papers, false ones, or no proof of work. Or there might have been a problem with just one member of the family, so they all chose to go back instead of being separated." Esperanza thought about being separated from Mama and gratefully took her hand and squeezed it. Almost everyone had boarded, except Alfonso, Hortensia, and Miguel. Esperanza kept looking for them, and she became more anxious with each passing minute. "Mama, where are they?" Mama said nothing, but Esperanza could see the worry in her eyes, too. Finally, Hortensia got on. The train's engines began to chug. Her voice tense, Esperanza said, "What happened to Alfonso and Miguel?" Hortensia pointed out the window. They had to find some water. Alfonso was running toward the train with Miguel close behind, waving the secret package and grinning. The train slowly started moving as they hopped on. Esperanza wanted to be angry at them for making her anxious. She wanted to yell at them for waiting until the very last minute just so they could find water for their package that was probably nonsense anyway. But looking from one to the other, she sat back, limp with relief, happy to have them all together surrounding her, and surprised that she could be so glad to be back on the train. "Anza, we're here. Wake up." She sat up groggily, barely opening her eyes. "What day is this?" she asked. "You've been asleep for hours. Wake up. It is Thursday, and we are here in Los Angeles." "Look, there they are," said Alfonso, pointing out the window. "My brother Juan and Josefina, his wife, and his children, Isabel and the twins, they have all come." A campesino family waved to them. Juan and Josefina each held a baby about a year old in their arms. It was easy to see that the man was Alfonso's brother, even though he didn't have a mustache. Josefina was plump, with a round face and a complexion that was fairer than Esperanza's. She was smiling and waving with her free hand. Next to her stood a girl about 8 years old, wearing a dress that was too big and shoes with no socks. Delicate and frail, with big brown eyes, long braids, and skinny legs, she looked like a young deer. Esperanza couldn't help but think how much she looked like the doll Papa had given her. There was much hugging among all the relatives. Alfonso said, "Everyone, this is Señora Ortega and Esperanza." "Alfonso, please call me Ramona." "Yes, of course, Señora. My family feels like they know you because we have all written letters about you for years." Mama hugged Juan and Josefina and said, "Thank you for all you have done for us already." Miguel teased his cousin, pulling her braids. "Esperanza, this is Isabel." Isabel looked at Esperanza, her eyes wide with wonder, and in a voice that was soft and whispery said, "Were you really so very wealthy? Did you always get your way and have all the dolls and fancy dresses you wanted?" Esperanza's mouth pressed into an irritated line. She could only imagine the letters Miguel had written. Had he told Isabel that in Mexico they stood on different sides of the river? "The truck is this way," said Juan. "We have a long ride." Esperanza picked up her valise and followed Isabel's father. She looked around and was relieved to see that compared to the desert, Los Angeles had lush palms and green grass, and even though it was September, roses were still blooming in the flower beds. She took a deep breath. The aroma of oranges from a nearby grove was reassuring and familiar. Maybe it wouldn't be so different here. Juan, Josefina, Mama, and Hortensia crowded onto the front seat of the rickety truck. Isabel, Esperanza, Alfonso, and Miguel sat in the truck bed with the babies and the two red hens. The vehicle looked like it should be hauling animals instead of people. But Esperanza had said nothing to Mama. Besides, after so many days on the train, it felt good to stretch out her legs. The old jalopy rocked and swayed as it climbed out of the San Fernando Valley, weaving up through hills covered with dried-out shrubs. She sat with her back against the cab, and the hot wind whipped her loose hair. Alfonso tied a blanket across the wooden slats to make a canopy of shade. The babies, Lupe and Pepe, a girl and a boy, were dark-eyed cherubs with thick mops of black hair. Esperanza was surprised at how much they looked alike. The only difference was the tiny gold earrings in Lupe's ears. Pepe crawled onto Esperanza's lap and Lupe into Isabel's. When the baby fell asleep against Esperanza, his head slid down her arm, leaving a stream of perspiration. "Is it always so hot here?" she asked. "My papa says it is the dry air that makes it so hot, and sometimes it is even hotter," said Isabel. "But it is better than living in El Centro, because now we do not have to live in a tent." "A tent?" "Last year we worked for another farm in El Centro in the Imperial Valley, not too far from the border. We were there during the melons. We lived in a tent with a dirt floor and had to carry water. We cooked outside. But then we moved north, to Arvin. That's where we're going now. A big company owns the camp. We pay $7 a month, and my papa says it is worth it to have piped-in cold water and electricity and a kitchen inside. He says the farm is 6,000 acres. Isabel leaned toward Esperanza and grinned as if she were telling a big secret. "And a school. Next week, I get to go to school, and I will learn to read. Can you read?" "Of course," said Esperanza. "Will you go to school?" asked Isabel. "I went to private school and started when I was 4, so I have already passed through level 8. When my grandmother comes, maybe I will go to high school." "Well, when I go to school, I will learn in English," said Isabel. Esperanza nodded and tried to smile back. Isabel was so happy, she thought, about such little things. The brown, barren mountains rose higher, and a red-tailed hawk seemed to follow them for miles. The truck rattled up a steep grade past sparse, dry canyons, and Esperanza's ears began to feel full and tight. How much longer? We will stop for lunch soon, said Isabel. They wove through the golden hills, softly sculpted with rounded tops, until Juan finally slowed the truck and turned down a side road. When they came to an area shaded with a single tree, they piled out of the truck, and Josefina spread a blanket on the ground, then unwrapped a bundle of burritos, avocados, and grapes. They sat in the shade and ate. Mama, Hortensia, and Josefina chatted and watched the babies while Isabel lay down on the blanket between Alfonso and Juan. She was soon asleep. Esperanza wandered away from the group, grateful not to be rocking in a truck or a train. She walked to an overlook. Below, canyons plunged to an arroyo, a silver line of water from an unknown river. It was quiet and peaceful here. The sweet silence, broken only by the swish of dried grasses from the wind. With her feet solid on the ground for the first time in many days, Esperanza remembered what Papa had taught her when she was little. If she lay on the land and was very still and quiet, she could hear the heartbeat of the valley. "Can I hear it from here, Papa?" She stretched out on her stomach and reached her arms to the side, hugging the earth. She let the stillness settle upon her and listened. She heard nothing. "Be patient," she reminded herself, "and the fruit will fall into your hand." She listened again, but the heartbeat was not there. She tried one more time, desperately wanting to hear it, but there was no reassuring thump repeating itself, no sound of the earth's heartbeat or Papa's. There was only the prickly sound of dry grass. Determined, Esperanza pressed her ear harder to the ground. "I can't hear it," she pounded the earth. "Let me hear it." Tears burst from her eyes as if someone had squeezed an overripe orange. Confusion and uncertainty spilled forth and became an arroyo of their own. She rolled on her back, her tears worming down her face into her ears. Seeing nothing but the vast sky and dizzying swirls of blue and white, she began to feel as if she were floating and drifting upward. She lifted higher, and part of her liked the sensation, but another part of her felt untethered and frightened. She tried to find the place in her heart where her life was anchored, but she couldn't, so she closed her eyes and pressed the palms of her hands against the earth, making sure it was there. She felt as if she were falling, careening through the hot air. Her skin perspired and she felt cold and nauseous. She took short breaths, heaving in and out. Suddenly, the world went black. Someone hovered over her. She sat up quickly. How long had she been in the darkness? She held her pounding chest and looked up at Miguel. "Anza, are you all right?" She took a deep breath and brushed off her dress. Had she really floated above the earth? Had Miguel seen her? She knew her face was red and blotchy. "I'm fine," she said quickly, wiping the tears from her face. "Don't tell Mama. You know, she worries." Miguel nodded. He sat down close to her. Without asking any questions, he took her hand and stayed with her, the quiet interrupted only by her occasional staccato breaths. "I miss him too," Miguel whispered, squeezing her hand. "I miss the ranch and Mexico and Abuelita, everything. And I am sorry about what Isabel said to you. I meant nothing by it." She stared at the dark brown and purple ridges staggered in the distance and let the ripe tears cascade down her cheeks. And this time, Esperanza did not let go of Miguel's hand. They were heading down a steep grade on Highway 99 when Isabel said, "Look!" Esperanza leaned around the side of the truck. As they rounded a curve, it appeared as if the mountains pulled away from each other, like a curtain opening on a stage, revealing the San Joaquin Valley beyond. Flat and spacious, it spread out like a blanket of patchwork fields. Esperanza could see no end to the plots of yellow, brown, and shades of green. The road finally leveled out on the valley floor, and she gazed back at the mountains from where they'd come. They looked like monstrous lion's paws resting at the edge of the ridge. A big truck blew its horn, and Juan pulled over to let it pass, its bed bulging with cantaloupes. Another truck and another did the same. A caravan of trucks passed them, all piled high with the round melons. On one side of the highway, acres of grapevines stretched out in soldiered rows and swallowed up the arbors. On the other side, fields and fields of dark green cotton plants became a sea of milk-white puffs. This was not a gently rolling landscape, like Aguas Calientes, for as far as the eye could travel, the land was unbroken by even a hillock. Esperanza felt dizzy looking at the repeated straight rows of grapes and had to turn her head away. They finally turned east off the main highway. The truck went slower now, and Esperanza could see workers in the fields. People waved, and Juan honked the truck horn in return. Then he pulled the truck to the side of the road and pointed to a field that had been cleared of its harvest. Dried, rambling vines covered the acre, and leftover melons dotted the ground. "The field markers are down. We can take as many as we can carry," he called back to them. Alfonso jumped out, tossed a dozen cantaloupes to Miguel, then stepped up on the running board and slapped the top of the truck for Juan to start again. The melons, warmed by the valley sun, rolled and somersaulted with each bump of the truck. Two girls walking along the road waved, and Juan stopped again. One of them climbed in, a girl about Miguel's age. Her hair was short, black, and curly, and her features were sharp and pointed. She leaned back against the side of the truck, her hands behind her head, and she studied Esperanza, her eyes darting at Miguel whenever she could. "This is Marta," said Isabel. "She lives at another camp where they pick cotton, but it is owned by a different company. Her aunt and uncle live at our camp, so she stays with them sometimes." "Where are you from?" asked Marta. "Aguas Calientes, El Rancho de las Rosas," said Esperanza. "I have never heard of El Rancho de las Rosas. Is it a town?" "It was the ranch they lived on," said Isabel proudly, her eyes round and shining. "Esperanza's father owned it and thousands of acres of land. She had lots of servants and beautiful dresses, and she went to private school, too. Miguel is my cousin, and he and his parents worked for them." "So you're a princess who's come to be a peasant. Where's all your finery?" Esperanza stared at her and said nothing. "What's the matter? Silver spoon stuck in your mouth?" Her voice was smart and biting. "A fire destroyed everything. She and her mother have come to work, like the rest of us," said Miguel. Confused, Isabel added, "Esperanza's nice. Her papa died." "Well, my father died too," said Marta. "Before he came to this country, he fought in the Mexican Revolution against people like her father, who owned all the land." Esperanza stared back at Marta, unblinking. What had she done to deserve this girl's insults? Through gritted teeth, she said, "You know nothing of my papa. He was a good, kind man who gave much of his property to his servants." "That might be so," said Marta, "but there were plenty of the rich who did not." "That was not my papa's fault." Isabel pointed to one of the fields, trying to change the subject. "Those people are Filipinos," she said. "They live in their own camp." "And see over there?" She pointed to a field down the road. "Those people are from Oklahoma. They live in Camp 8. There's a Japanese camp, too. We all live separate and work separate. They don't mix us." "They don't want us banding together for higher wages or better housing," said Marta. "The owners think if Mexicans have no hot water, that we won't mind as long as we think no one has any." They don't want us talking to the Okies from Oklahoma or anyone else because we might discover that they have hot water. See? Do the Okies have hot water? Asked Miguel. Not yet, but if they get it, we will strike. Strike? Said Miguel. You mean you will stop working? Don't you need your job? Of course I need my job, but if all the workers join together and refuse to work, we might all get better conditions. Are the conditions so bad? Asked Miguel. Some are decent. The place you are going to is one of the better ones. They even have fiestas. There's a Jamaica this Saturday night. Isabel turned to Esperanza. You will love the Jamaicas. We have them every Saturday night during the summer. There is music and food and dancing. This Saturday is the last for this year because soon it will be too cold. Esperanza nodded and tried to pay attention to Isabel. Marta and Miguel talked and grinned back and forth. An unfamiliar feeling was creeping up inside of Esperanza. She wanted to toss Marta out of the moving truck and scold Miguel for even talking to her. Hadn't he seen her rudeness? She brooded as they rode past miles of young tamarisk trees that seemed to be the border of someone's property. Beyond those trees is the Mexican camp, said Isabel, where we live. Marta smirked at Esperanza and said, Just so you know, this isn't Mexico. No one will be waiting on you here. Then she gave her a phony smile and said, Entiendes? Understand? Esperanza stared back at her in silence. The one thing she did understand was that she did not like Marta. Onions. We're here, said Isabel, as the truck turned into camp and slowed to a crawl. Esperanza stood up and looked over the cab. They were in a large clearing surrounded by grape fields. Row upon row of white wooden cabins formed long lines, connected like bunkhouses. Each cabin had one small window and two wooden steps that led to the door. She couldn't help but think that they weren't even as nice as the servants' cabins in Aguascalientes. They reminded Esperanza more of the horse stalls on the ranch than of a place for people to live. A big mountain loomed in the east, framing one side of the valley. Marta jumped out and ran toward some girls standing together near the cabins. Esperanza could hear them talking in English, the words hard and clipped, as if they were speaking with sticks in their mouths. They all looked at her and laughed. She turned away, thinking that if Isabel could learn English, then maybe someday she could learn it too. A line of flatbed trucks pulled into a clearing, and campesinos hopped down, home from the fields. People called to one another. Children ran to their fathers, yelling, Puppy! Puppy! Esperanza felt a deep pang. She watched and wondered how she would fit into this world. Isabel pointed to a wooden building off to the side. That's where they have all the toilets. Esperanza cringed as she tried to imagine having no privacy. We're lucky, said Isabel solemnly. In some camps, they have to go in ditches. Esperanza looked down at her, swallowed, and nodded, suddenly thankful for something. A foreman came over and shook hands with Juan and Alfonso and pointed to the cabin in front of the truck. The women got out, took the babies, and helped Miguel with the bags. Mama and Esperanza walked into the cabin. It had two small rooms. One half of the front room was the kitchen with a stove, sink, and counter, and a table and chairs. A pile of wood waited near the stove. Across the room was a mattress on the floor. The back room had another mattress big enough for two people and a tiny cot. In between sat a wooden fruit crate to be used as a night table, its sides touching each bed. Above was another small window. Mama looked around and then gave Esperanza a weak smile. Is this our cabin or Hortensia's and Alfonso's? Asked Esperanza, hoping that hers and Mama's might be better. We are all together. In this cabin, said Mama. Mama, we can't possibly all fit. Esperanza, they will only give us one cabin for each man with a family. There is no housing for single women. This is a family camp, so we must have a male head of household to live and work here, and that is Alfonso. Mama sank to the bed. Her voice sounded tired. He has told them we are his cousins, and if anyone asks us, we must say it's true. Otherwise, we cannot stay. We are next door to Juan and Josefina so we can adjust the sleeping arrangements. Miguel will sleep next door with them and the babies, and Isabel will sleep here with Alfonso, Hortensia, and us. Miguel came in and set down their valises, then left. Esperanza could hear Alfonso and Hortensia in the next room talking about the camp office. Mama got up to unpack and began to sing. Esperanza felt anger crawling up her throat. "Mama, we are living like horses. How can you sing? How can you be happy? We don't even have a room to call our own." The talking suddenly stopped in the other room. Mama gave Esperanza a long, hard look. She calmly walked over and shut the door to the small room. "Sit down," she said. Esperanza sat on the tiny cot, its springs screeching. Mama sat on the bed opposite her, their knees almost touching. "Esperanza, if we had stayed in Mexico and I had married Tio Luis, we would have had one choice, to be apart and miserable. Here we have two choices, to be together and miserable or to be together and happy. Mija, we have each other and Abuelita will come. How would she want you to behave? I choose to be happy. So which will you choose?" She knew what Mama wanted to hear. "Happy," she said quietly. "Do you know how lucky we are, Esperanza? Many people come to this valley and wait months for a job. Juan went to a lot of trouble to make sure we had this cabin waiting for us when we got here. Please be grateful for the favors bestowed upon us." Mama bent over and kissed her, then left the room. Esperanza lay down on the cot. A few minutes later, Isabel came in and sat on the bed. "Will you tell me what it was like to be so very rich?" She looked at Isabel, her eyes anticipating some wonderful story. Esperanza was quiet for a moment, clinging to one possible thought. Then she said, "I am still rich, Isabel. We will only be here until Abuelita is well enough to travel. Then she will come with her money, and we will buy a big house, a house that Papa would have been proud for us to live in. Maybe we will buy two houses so that Hortensia, Alfonso, and Miguel can live in one and work for us again. And you can visit us, Isabel. You see, this is only temporary. We will not be here for long."
"De veras?"
asked Isabel. "Yes, it is the truth," said Esperanza, staring at the ceiling that someone had covered with newspaper and cardboard. "My papa would never have wanted us to live in a place like this." She closed her eyes and heard Isabel tiptoe out of the room and shut the door. The weariness from the days of travel flooded over her, and her mind wandered from people peeing in ditches to Marta's rudeness to the horse stalls at El Rancho de las Rosas. How could she be happy or grateful when she had never been more miserable in her life? When Esperanza opened her eyes again, it was almost light, and she heard Mama, Hortensia, and Alfonso talking in the next room. She had slept through dinner and the entire night. She smelled coffee and sausage. It made her stomach growl, and she tried to remember when she had last eaten. Isabel was still asleep in the bed next to hers, so Esperanza quietly pulled on a long wrinkled skirt and white blouse. She brushed her hair and went into the other room. "Good morning," said Mama. "Sit down and eat something. You must be starved." At the table, Hortensia patted her hand. "You missed going to the foreman's office last night. We signed the papers to live here. We already have work today." Mama put a plate of tortillas, eggs, and sausage in front of her. "Where did all the food come from?" asked Esperanza. "Josefina," said Hortensia. She brought some groceries until we can go to the store this weekend.
Esperanza, said Mama,
you and Isabel will be watching the babies while the rest of us work. Alfonso and Juan will be picking grapes, and Hortensia, Josefina, and I will be packing grapes in the sheds.
But I want to work with you and Hortensia and Josefina.
You're not old enough to work in the sheds, said Mama, and Isabel is not old enough to watch the babies by herself. If you watch the babies, then Josefina can work, and that is one more paying job between us. We must all do our part. You will have a camp job, too, sweeping the wooden platform every afternoon, for which they will deduct a little from our rent each month. Isabel can show you what to do later.
What's the platform?
Esperanza asked.
It's the big wooden floor outside in the middle of the camp.
Juan said they use it for meetings and dances, said Mama.
Esperanza stared at her food. She did not want to be stuck in camp with the children.
Where's Miguel? She said.
He already left for Bakersfield with some other men to look for work at the railroad, said Alfonso.
Isabel came out of the bedroom, rubbing her eyes.
Mi sobrina, my niece, said Hortensia, hugging Isabel.
Go say good morning to your mother and father before we all leave for work.
Isabel hugged her and ran next door.
Esperanza studied Mama as she made un burrito de frijoles for lunch and wrapped the soft tortilla filled with pinto beans in paper. She looked different. Was it the long cotton dress and the big flowered apron tied at her waist?
No, it was more than that.
Mama, said Esperanza, your hair.
Mama's hair ran down her back in a single long braid, almost touching her waist.
Esperanza had never seen Mama wear her hair that way.
It was always done up in her beautiful plaited bun, or when she was ready for bed, brushed out and flowing.
Mama looked shorter and somehow not herself.
Esperanza didn't like it.
Mama reached up and stroked the back of her head. She seemed embarrassed.
I figured out that I can't wear a hat with my hair on top of my head.
And this makes more sense, does it not? After all, I'm going to work today, not to a fiesta.
Then she hugged Esperanza. We must go now. The trucks leave at 6:30 to take us to the sheds. Take good care of the babies and stay with Isabel. She knows the camp.
As the three of them walked out, Esperanza noticed Mama reaching up, hesitantly touching her hair again.
When Esperanza finished eating, she went outside and stood on the front step.
Instead of facing another row of cabins, their cabin was in the last row facing the fields. Straight ahead, across a dirt road, were several chinaberry trees and a mulberry tree that provided deep shade over a wooden table. Beyond the row of trees were grape fields, still lush. To the right, across a grassy field, was the main road. A truck piled high with produce drove by, losing a cloud of debris. After it passed, the sharp smell told her they were onions, the dry outer skins being shredded by the wind. Another truck followed. Again, the smell bit into her senses. It was still early, so the air was cool, but the sun was bright, and she knew it would be hot soon. The hens pecked and poked around the front steps. They must have been happy to be off the train. Esperanza shooed them out of her way as she turned and walked next door. The babies were still in their pajamas. Isabel was struggling to feed Lupe her oatmeal while Pepe crawled on the floor, splotches of his cereal still stuck to his cheeks. As soon as he saw Esperanza, he reached up for her.
"Let's clean them up," said Isabel, "and then I'll show you the camp."
First, Isabel took Esperanza to the platform she was to sweep and showed her where the brooms were stored. Then they walked by the rows of cabins, each with a baby on her hip. As they passed open doors, Esperanza could already smell the beans and onions that someone had started simmering for dinner. Women were dragging big metal wash tubs beneath the shade trees. A group of young boys kicked a ball up and down the dirt road, stirring up dust. A little girl, wearing a man's undershirt as a dress,
ran up to Isabel and took her hand. "This is Sylvia. She is my best friend. Next week, we will go to school together." Sylvia switched around and grabbed Esperanza's free hand. Esperanza looked down at Sylvia's dirty hands. Sylvia grinned up at her, and Esperanza's first thought was to pull her hand away and wash it as soon as possible. Then she remembered Mama's kindness to the peasant girl on the train and her disappointment in Esperanza. She didn't want Sylvia to start crying if she were to pull away. She looked around at the dusty camp and thought that it must be hard to stay clean in such a place. She squeezed Sylvia's hand and said, "I have a best friend, too. Her name is Marisol, and she lives in Aguas Calientes." Isabel introduced Esperanza to Irene and Melina, two women who were hanging clothes to dry on a long line stretched between the cabins and a tree. Irene had long gray hair tied in a tail. Melina didn't look much older than Miguel, and she already had a baby of her own. "We heard the story of how you came from Aguas Calientes," said Melina. "My husband is from there. He used to work for Señor Rodriguez." Esperanza's face lit up at this news. "He knew my father since he was a boy. Do you think your husband knew Marisol, Señor Rodriguez's daughter?" Melina laughed. No, I'm sure he didn't. He was a campesino, a field servant. He would not know the family." Esperanza felt awkward and didn't mean to make Melina admit that her husband was a servant. But Melina didn't seem bothered and began recalling other farms her father had worked on in Aguas Calientes. Isabel pulled on Esperanza's arm. "We need to change the babies." As they walked back to the cabin, she said, "They are mother and daughter. They come over to talk and crochet with my mother all the time." "How do they know all about us already?" Isabel raised her hand and made her fingers tap up and down on her thumbs as if a mouth was talking. "Everyone in camp knows each other's business." "Do you know how to change a diaper?" asked Esperanza when they got back to the cabin. "Certainly," said Isabel. "I will change them, and you can rinse out the diapers. We need to do some laundry, too." Esperanza watched as the young girl laid the babies down one at a time, unpinned their diapers, wiped their bottoms clean, and pinned on fresh diapers. Isabel handed Esperanza the smelly bundles and said, "Take them to the toilets and dump them, and I'll fill the washtub." Esperanza held them at arm's length and almost ran to the toilets. Several more onion trucks passed by, their smell accosting her eyes and nose as much as the diapers. By the time she got back, Isabel had already filled two washtubs with water from an outside pipe and was swirling soap around in one of them. A washboard was propped inside. Esperanza went to the washtub and hesitated, staring into the water. Bits of onion skins floated on the surface of the soapy water. She held a corner of one of the diapers, lightly dipping it in and out of the water, her hand never getting wet. After a few seconds, she gingerly lifted the diaper from the water. "Now what?" she said. "Esperanza, you must scrub them, like this." Isabel walked over, took the diapers, and plunged them into the water up to her elbows. The water quickly became murky. She rubbed the diapers with soap, vigorously scrubbed them back and forth on the washboard, and wrung them out. Then she transferred them to the next tub, rinsing and wringing again. Isabel took out the clean diapers and hung them on the line stretched between the chinaberry and mulberry trees. Then she started on the clothes. Esperanza was amazed. She had never washed anything in her life, and Isabel, who was only 8 years old, made it look so easy. Puzzled, Isabel looked at Esperanza. "Don't you know how to wash clothes?" "Well, Hortensia took everything out to the laundry quarters, and the servants, they always..." She looked at Isabel and shook her head no. Isabel's eyes got bigger, and she looked worried. "Esperanza, when I go to school next week, you will be here alone with the babies and will have to do the laundry." Esperanza took a deep breath and said weakly, "I can learn." "And later today you must sweep the platform.
You do know how to sweep.
Of course, said Esperanza. She had seen people sweep many times. Many, many times, she assured herself. Besides, she was already too embarrassed about the washing to admit anything else to Isabel. Isabel sat with the babies while Esperanza went to sweep the platform. The camp was quiet, and even though it was late in the day, the sun was unrelenting. She retrieved the broom and stepped onto the wooden platform. Dried and brittle onion skins were everywhere. In her entire life, Esperanza had never held a broom in her hand. But she had seen Hortensia sweep, and she tried to visualize the memory. It couldn't possibly be that hard. She put both hands near the middle of the broomstick and moved it back and forth. It swung wildly. The motion seemed awkward, and the fine dirt on the wooden planks lifted into a cloud. Onion jackets flew into the air instead of gathering together in a neat pile like Hortensia's. Esperanza's elbows did not know what to do, neither did her arms. She felt streams of perspiration sliding down her neck. She stopped for a moment and stared at the broom as if willing it to behave. Determined, she tried again. She hadn't noticed that several trucks were already unloading workers nearby. Then she heard it, first a small tittering and then louder. She turned around. A group of women were laughing at her, and in the middle of the group was Marta, pointing. Cinderella, she laughed. Burning with humiliation, Esperanza dropped the broom and ran back into the cabin. In her room, she sat on the edge of her cot. Her face flushed again at the thought of the ridicule. She was still sitting there staring at the wall when Isabel found her. I said I could work. I told Mama I could help, but I cannot even wash clothes or sweep a floor. Does the whole camp know? Isabel sat on the bed next to her and patted her back. Yes. Esperanza groaned. I will never be able to show my face. She put her head in her hands until she heard someone else come into the room. Esperanza looked up to see Miguel holding a broom and a dustpan, but he wasn't laughing. She looked down and bit her lip so she wouldn't cry in front of him. He shut the door, then stood in front of her and said, How would you know how to sweep a floor? The only thing that you ever learned was how to give orders. This is not your fault. Anza, look at me. She looked up. Pay attention, he said, his face serious. You hold the broom like this, one hand here and the other here. Esperanza watched. Then you push like this, or pull it toward you like this. Here, you try, he said, holding out the broom. Slowly, Esperanza got up and took the broom from him. He positioned her hands on the handle. She tried to copy him, but her movements were too big. Smaller strokes, said Miguel, coaching, and sweep all in one direction. She did as he said. Now when you get all the dirt into a pile, you hold the broom down here near the bottom and push the dirt into the pan. Esperanza collected the dirt. See, you can do it. Miguel raised his thick eyebrows and smiled. Someday, you just might make a very good servant. Isabel giggled. Esperanza could not yet find humor in the situation. Somberly, she said, Thank you, Miguel. He grinned and bowed. At your service, Mirena. But this time, his voice was kind. She remembered that he had gone to look for work at the railroad. Did you get a job? His smile faded. He put his hands in his pockets and shrugged his shoulders. It is frustrating. I can fix any engine, but they will only hire Mexicans to lay track and dig ditches, not as mechanics. I've decided to work in the fields until I can convince someone to give me a chance. Esperanza nodded. After he left the room, Isabel said, He calls you Mirena. Will you tell me about your life as a queen? Esperanza sat on the mattress and patted the spot next to her. Isabel sat down. Isabel, I will tell you all about how I used to live, about parties and private school and beautiful dresses. I will even show you the beautiful doll my papa bought me, if you will teach me how to pin diapers, how to wash, and Isabel interrupted her. But that is so easy. Esperanza stood up and carefully practiced with the broom. It is not easy for me.